Hi, it's Dove, part two of our Shovavim talk. The next chapter, well, really we're finishing Perek Aleph in the Derech Emes. Derech Emes is the second or third, depending on which print you have, section of a larger Sefer called Yosher Divrei Emes. And Yosher Divrei Emes is a major Hasidic Sefer written by Rav Meshulam Feibish Halevi. Last name was Heller, they called him the Magid Meisharim of Zbarizha, something like that. He was a Talmud of a few people. He was a Talmud of the Magid, the Magid Dov Ber of Meserich. After the Magid passed away, he became a Talmud of two other people, also Talmudim of the Magid, I presume. And one of them was the famous Reb Hirshov Zidichov, Svi Hirshov Zidichov, the Zidichover, very big makubal. And in the later part of the Sefer, he has this kuntris. Kuntris is a Greek word, probably, that means a letter or epistle or whatever, and it's called Derech Emes, a true way. Derech Emes means a true way. Some people might translate it as the way of truth, but whatever. We did the first little paragraph last time, and I also did a little intro, a pretty extensive intro, on what the inyan of Shovavim, what the matter of Shovavim, this period of the year from after Hanukkah, after the post-Hanukkah period, until Adar Sheni, until Pesach, basically, until Adar Sheni. This period, which comprises the bulk of the winter, from the winter solstice, which was the beginning of winter, which is last week, until until spring, which is Aviv, Pesach's month. That period is a period of restoration, of tshuva, of bringing everything back to the way it should be, but as the Shlomo explains, only in a year of an extra month being added to the calendar. And that's the time, the true time of Shovavim is only every few years when we add a month to restore the calendar back to its proper length, you know. And I tried to explain that in as much detail as I could in a very straight, simple, and I hope logical and true manner. Based on the Shlo HaKadosh, this Shlo I was referring to is at the beginning of Shemos, the Shlo on Chumash, at the beginning of Shemos. Before he gets into explaining, say for Shemos, he has a little like page or so, two pages maybe, on Shovavim, and this is, and what I gave over to you is what he says, as far as I understand it. Today, I'd like to finish the first chapter in Derech Emes, the true way. Which is the Sefer that mainly focuses on tshuva, particularly regarding lust issues, meaning masturbation, not pornography, probably didn't really exist back then, but you know, masturbation, fantasy, and sexual immorality, you know, relationships with others that's inappropriate, and of course he also touches on, you know, the marriage bed, so to speak, you know, what we would call halachically mutter and even mitzvah-oriented sexual behavior that can also be damaging to a person and make life much harder instead of much better. So he's going to touch on that stuff too as we go on, which is obvious that needs to be addressed. So before I do that, I want to read a little bit. I want to refer you to the Sefer Chovos Halavavos, written by Rabbi Bachi ibn Pakuda. He was a Rishon a long time ago. He lived during the heyday of the Muslim empire. And one of the things, a little after maybe, but one of the things that he writes over here is a chapter called The Gateway of Focus. He calls it Sha'ar, the gateway Yichud HaMaisa, focus in action. You know, for a person to have intention and focus in what they do. Yichud Hamaaseh. And the fourth chapter, he writes something that's very connected to the piece we're going to learn in Derech Emes. And it goes like this. It's chapter 4 in Sha'ar Yichud Hamaaseh in Chovos HaRavos. Shalosha Dvarim Gormim La'adam Lo La'asos Es Avodas Hashem L'Shem Shemayim. There are three things that lead to a person not serving God altruistically. In other words, for God's sake, not for his own sake, but for God's sake. In other words, doing what God wants him to do because God wants him to do it purely. Gorem echad. One thing is, one cause is she'ena adam mevin esho elokim ve'estuvo. Because this person doesn't understand God, he doesn't recognize God and his goodness and God's goodness. Kolomar, meaning to say, shehu lo mevin, he doesn't recognize, he doesn't understand she'elokim kol yachol, that God really is all powerful. Vehu levado manhig es olam, and he's the only one in charge of the world. Veshu osa la'adam rak tov, and that God only does good for men, which simply put, God can't be bad. There are a lot of things God cannot do, even though we say he can do anything and he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. But God cannot get the flu and die. God cannot get dementia. God cannot fall and break his hip. He also can't, right? Correct? He also can't be mean. He also can't forget. He also can't do any, he can't cause any harm. Because all these things are weaknesses. They're not abilities, they're weaknesses. Can God kill himself? You know, that's not an ability, that's a weakness. So he's not subject to any weakness because he, as we understand in Yiddishkeit, is the Or Ein Sof, is our only relationship with him, is eternal power, and Or is the side of Chesed and Ava. That's all we can. That's the only thing we can say about God, is that he's positive. He's everything. He needs nothing. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. Like, he is not lacking. If we sin, we're not causing him any harm. So, because he doesn't need anything, he can't need anything. So he can't be angry and lose his temper at us. And he can't ever hurt us the way that parents, whenever a parent gets hysterical with a child and yells, they say in 12 Steps Recovery, if it's hysterical, then it's historical. In other words, if a parent gets hysterical and loses a temper with a child, you can quote a Mishnah, you can quote a Mishnah as much as you want about hitting a child, it's a mitzvah, blah, blah. It's all garbage. You're really just losing your temper and you know it. And that's why it has to happen, and it's all driven by fears, but dressed up in the technical clothing of, you know, technically correct, proper parenting, but that's not really the truth. Anytime we're hysterical, it's a problem, and it's because of our character defects at work, and God doesn't have character defects. He can't make mistakes. He can't be mean, you know? He can be just. He can't be mean. He can be good. He can't be bad. Because truly bad means wrong. You know, there's no such thing as bad that's right. And God can't be wrong. So recognizing that he only does good for us no matter what, that he has all the power and that it doesn't make sense to try to please anyone else or try to look to anyone else. To impress anyone else. That's the first thing that prevents, that makes it hard. It's a big challenge for people to do things that God says for God's sake, because God says so. Hagorem Hasheni, the second problem is She'ein hu mevin es mitzvos elokim ves torah, so that he doesn't understand what the mitzvahs are. It's Ein Am Ha'aretz Chasid. Okay. Hagorem Hashlishi. Who Hahirhurim Shayetza Hara Marla Leva Adam, the thoughts that the Yetzihara brings up on the heart of a man, the she do love lechabev esa adam esa olam, and his intention, his way of causing a person to love olam haza ume leharchiko mi hishtadluso leman haolam haba, and to distract the person from the real point of history, which is the future world. And now he goes into the details. And one of these things is this hatzavua, a person. I'm skipping two little paragraphs. Hatzavua, a person who is a faker. Savua means a person who's painting himself, coloring, a colorer. A dyer, person who colors himself. Garua is worse me Ovid Elokim, even worse than an idol worshiper. Arba advarim in four ways. Huamach ov hagadol biyoser baolam, and this is the most popular. He means a malady in the world. This is the worst. This is the most popular, most common malady in the world. Is faking. The sibazo. And this cause of a person losing the ability to being unsuccessful doing the mitzvahs for God's sake, for the right reason. One of these reasons is not recognizing God properly, not knowing who we're doing this for, that he's the all-powerful and only really important being in the world. The reason for this, for a person not recognizing God properly, So a lot of times what happens is a person doesn't recognize God and therefore he serves an idol instead. Below Ode, Elisha Ovid Elilim Ola Alatzurub Arba Yisronos. There are four ways that an idol worshiper is better than a faker, a person who's trying to impress others by shuffling a lot, davening b'kol, well, the Sfarim say you should daven b'kol, davening with a loud voice and this, if everyone else is doing it, that's fine. If you're one of the few who are doing it, you have to recognize that you're running a risk of being a show off, of doing it because people are there. The question is, if you were, the thing I always think of, whatever it is that I'm doing, would I be doing it if I were alone on a desert island for a year? Would I still be doing it now after a year? You know. Then if I would, then that means that this is something that I'm really, really serious about. If I wouldn't, and this takes a lot of self-honesty, if I wouldn't, and if you see after, if for some reason you're davening the Yechidus for a while and you see your davening has changed from the way you normally do it with less externals, that's proof positive that the externals that you were doing were being done by you because people were watching. And that's what he's talking about. Yisron Echad Hu, you know, he basically goes through four ways that an idol worshiper is better than a person who's a show-off. Nimtza Eifo Shatzavu Hu Machov Hachi Gadol Ba'olam. We see that this faking, this showing off to others is the Machov, the malady, Hachi Gadol, the greatest malady in the whole world. Hanukkah b'lashonenu savua ge'a umata'e, a person who is false, a person who is false. Now, this concept of falseness is nothing new. We see in the Gemara in Brachos, the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came in to visit him when he was very ill once, and they wanted a bracha from him because they thought maybe he was going to die. They got a bracha from him that he said to them, that I give you a bracha that tehei mora shamayim aleichem kemora bas of adam, that your fear of God should be as great as your fear of people. Now, if you look in Reishis Chochma, for example, you know, and you look at or any sefer of what we call Sifrei Yira, you look in any of these sfarim that talk about fear of God. And if you, as you read the stuff, you'll realize that if you would say to the author, if you were alive at the time of the author, and you would say to this author, you know, I want my fear of God to be like fear of people, he would probably throw you out of the room. you would see that it's prohibited, it's usur, and it's actually garua ma'od. It's very disgusting to aim for such a thing, because God is God. People are just people. How could you possibly compare the two? And how could you possibly say to somebody that I wish that your fear of God should eventually reach the level of your fear of people? So the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, that's it? What kind of bracha is that? And his response to them was, no, teda. He says, ulavai, halavai, your fear of God should be like your fear of people. Teda, sha'adam ogra avera. He said it to them nicely. Adam, a person, he meant you. Ogra avera, do something wrong. The omer galibo, and the person you, say in your heart, as long as no one sees me, okay? As long as no one sees me. So the person, I'm sorry, I actually have to move my car. I apologize for this. The people who he was talking to were not simpletons. They were not losers. They were not the sweat hogs of the class. These were great people. These were tanoim. These were actual great Mishnah scholars. And he said to them, nonetheless, teda halavai ulavai teda. You should know sha'adam, that a person, you oiver avera, you do something wrong. And you say in your heart, as long as nobody saw me. For example, if you're standing at a bus stop and there's a Gentile child standing there and you're a Rosh Hashiva, you know, you won't pick your nose because you're embarrassed. Well, you see that your consideration of another person, well, there's somebody really looking at me. You know, the way we behave with someone watching is totally different. Totally different. And we manufacture excuses. Well, it's a Chilul Hashem, but there's no Chilul Hashem in front of God. I go to the bathroom in front of God, but I wouldn't go to the bathroom in front of people because God is everywhere. You know, and these are all excuses. If you look in the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkanetna, the first Chelek, you'll see by Rabbi Tamar Schwartz, you'll see that this concept, he goes into it much, much further. So that's really what the author over here is talking about regarding its Savua. A person who does things because people are watching. And he goes through a couple of things. I highly recommend you take a look at it. It's a very short chapter, even though he says that it's the worst problem that we face in this world in terms of doing Avodas Hashem sincerely. Take a look at that chapter. That is very, very connected to what the Yoshe Divrei Emes is going to say here in this in Perek Aleph of Derech Emes. And I'm going to read Derech Emes now, starting from where we left off. Ulechach nikra beris. For this reason, which he was referring to before, that sexual immorality, sexual desire, is natural for a person. It's natural for a person. And therefore, it's not just that it's a stronger desire, it's that it is basically symbolic of all desire, not because it's bigger, but because it's more natural to us. It's more essential in our nature. L'chach nikra bris. Therefore, the bris that a person has is called bris. Why? If you look at the value of the word bris, it's beis, 2, resh, 200, yud, 10, and suf, 400. So that adds up to 612, okay? Baris is 612. Ki ba'ever hanal, because on this body part, tolui mitzvah achas, is dependent one mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah of bris mila. The bris is on the actual part of the body. Usha'ar tayag mitzvahs, nichlalu bo. And the other and all the remainder of the 613 mitzvahs, all 612 of the rest of the mitzvahs are connected to it. Therefore, you do the mitzvah of milah, and we call it bris because it symbolizes all the rest of the mitzvahs. Ramach Asin, 248 positive commandments. Ushasa and 365 lo saaseh, negative commandments. Okay, u'mitzvah zo kadma l'chol ha-mitzvahs. This mitzvah of bris milah kadma, it came first l'chol ha-mitzvahs. Ki hu tesa v'sha'ar l'chol ha-torah. For it is an opening, a gateway to the rest of to the whole Torah. U'chmoshe ba'ever hanal nichlalu kol ha-gidim. Just as in this, he's assuming that we were aware of this, in this organ of the body is is included all of the other gidim. We touch them. We translate gidim usually as sinews. Do you have any idea what a sinew is? I don't know. Is it a tendon, a ligament? You count the ligaments in the body. It doesn't work out. But it means parts of the body. Came nichlalu bo kol hashasa lo sase. In a similar fashion, all the 365 lo sase, negative commandments, are also included in that body part. So uchmosha gidim machazikim ha'atzamos, and just like the gidim, which I presume over here he means ligaments, machazikim ha'atzamos, they hold and together the bones, the joints, came mitzvahs lo sa'aseh. In the same way, the negative commandments, kodimin la'aseh, they come before the aseh, the mitzvahs aseh. Ki e'efshar l'kayim shum mitzvahs aseh. It is really impossible, when you think about it, to l'kayim, to actually do, keep any of the positive commandments, in eino chazak lo saaseh, if he's not holding on or strong in the lo saaseh, in the negative commandments. This is an important idea that he's going to explain now. Ki ha-Torah melamedes osana retzon ha-borei malasos. Because the Torah is there to teach us what is the will of God to be done. Ve'im kein eich yachol. And if so, how is a person able to go against the will of God, la'asos ritzono. How is a person who's going against God's will to say, oh, I'm doing your commandments? So you put on tefillin, but you're not keeping kosher. You know? You're putting on tefillin, but you're speaking lashon hara. You're keeping Shabbos, but you're stealing from people. Like, how... In what way exactly is the positive commandment that you do being done to do God's will, please? You know, if you're not demonstrating it by not doing the things that he says not to do, that should come first. As we know from Rabbi Akiva, from Hillel. Hillel said to the ger that came to visit him and said to him, I want to become a Jew on the condition that you teach me everything while I'm standing on one foot, which most people say means real quickly, you know, just get it over with. Tell it to me short. So the man came to Shammai and he sent him away. And he came to Hillel and Hillel said, "Ma disani lach lechavrech losavid. My disani, something that is hated by you, lechavrech losavid. To your fellow, don't do." Okay, which is sort of like ve'ahav talareacha kamocha, but it's the negative side. He figured he saw that this ger could relate to that. That's where you start, and then you build up, obviously, to v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, which Rabbi Akiva said is klal gadol b'Torah. In other words, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is sort of something that encompasses the Torah. So he was saying this kind of an idea, Hillel. He was saying that first worry about not doing anything that God hates, so to speak. Okay, if you're doing that, my disani lach lechavrech losavid, who's your friend? God, you know, that's the implication here. Don't do anything against God's will. If you're focused on not doing anything against God's will, and you're trying your best in that area, then it makes sense to start talking about about going on a mission from God. You know, now that you've proven yourself worthy of going on a mission from, you know, from God by not doing the things that He says don't do. Okay, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam ha'ela otzel shel Yerushalayim bavad. Chazal and Shabbos tell us that Hashem's whole business is arranged around Yerushalayim. Zeh ritzono, leval yavar al ritzono. And that's His will, that we don't go against His will. Ulechach amru Chazal, yeshav adam v'lo avar aver nosnim lo sachar ke'osei mitzvah. Therefore we say, if a person is sitting, he desists. The person desists and doesn't do a sin when it's attractive to him, or he's interested in doing it, it's brought to him and he might go ahead and do it, but he doesn't, he desists. He's given sahar, he's given reward to osei mitzvah, just like a person who's doing a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, it's a lo sa'aseh, it's don't do. Why is that a positive thing? So, because kizer ritzono, because he's fulfilling God's will. And that's what sechar is about. If you look in the Mesilas Yesharim, in the Derech Hashem mainly, you'll see that the Ramchal and in other Sfarim, Pitzchei Chachma B'das, he talks about sechar v'onesh, and he says that, and Mesilas Yesharim even more actually, he says that doing mitzvahs and desisting from averus makes a person more godly, and the sechar is the relationship with God that you deserve, that you create. It's not a matter of morally deserving it, it's a matter of chemically, so to speak. It's physics, you know, it's natural. You deserve a relationship. You are like Him, so, you know, you can enjoy Him. Kizeritzono, not desisting from sinning, is His will, and therefore it's a positive thing. The imkein eich yocholasos ritzono ba'asei, how can a person be doing his mitzvos? If he's going ahead and doing whatever he wants to in his desires, why? Because once a person sees, and this is why it has to do with what we read before in Chovas HaLevavos, and what I mentioned about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai before. If a person is willfully going against God's commandments for his own desire, because he wants to, because he likes the way it feels, he enjoys it, and he goes against God's will, doing things that God said don't do. Why? Because why does a person do it? Because he enjoys doing it. So then, what does that mean? In overall ritzono b'ritzon ta'avos, if a person does that, it's a demonstration that the truth really is that the positive commandments that he keeps from God, the mitzvahs that he does that are God's will, are really being done by this person also, lamale ta'avaso, because he enjoys them and he wants to do them. In other words, this person is ultimately doing what he enjoys. Now, it might not just be because he enjoys the great feeling of waiting 6 hours after eating meat, or it's minug, the rabbanon, whatever it is. But you know, or he likes, because he loves cleaning for Pesach and getting rid of seor and chametz from his property. He might not love it so much. But what's he going to do if he doesn't? He'll be a shagetz in front of everybody. So he does it. He's enjoying. He's not enjoying, he's benefiting in terms of his honor, in terms of his fitting in with the crowd. Everybody, it's natural for us. We all desire to fit into the crowd, to belong. And this is the motivation for many people. If a person's doing his, he's suggesting that a person is doing a averus because he wants to, because he desires it, and he enjoys eating this treif food or doing this sexual thing that's prohibited. Then chances are, it's logical to assume that when he is doing God's will, it's because he desires it as well, and not because he's really, his interest is in doing God's will and doing the right thing. Because if he were concerned with doing the right thing, the first priority he would have would not be dressing with a nice lavush, keeping Shabbos, you know, eating kosher, doing mitzvahs. No, his first priority would naturally be, don't do things that he doesn't want you to do. You know, and this is obvious. If you're at home with a friend and you try to make friends, you buy them presents, but you steal their stuff. They'll say, don't give me your presents and don't steal my stuff. Just go away. But if you don't steal this person's stuff and you treat them just with respect, you don't do anything nice to them at all, you just don't do anything wrong, they'll have your respect, you'll have their respect, and they'll befriend you. So, I mean, this is obvious. That the true motive for this person doing the positive commandments is to fulfill his own desires. She wrote to Lihios Tzaddik, because he wants to be known as a tzaddik, seen as a tzaddik, for him himself to see himself as a tzaddik. And he's okay being a tzaddik in a Rosh HaBiyachad. Why? He won't pay attention to the Rosh part, because he'll keep saying, look at all these great things I'm doing. If his true desire was really, if his true motive were truly, truly to do the will of his creator, why isn't he standing before his Yetzer Hara in the negative arena? Shehu gam kein ritzon habore. It is also the even more basic will of his creator. Ach, rather, Masha rotza davka bekum la'aseh, the reason that he specifically wants to do the kum aseh, he's motivated to do the kum aseh and not keep the los aseh, who? Mibnei shezeh, because doing the positive mitzvos, davar hanira, this is something that is seen. It's something that people see. It's something that he sees himself doing, even if nobody else sees. He sees himself wrapping the tefillin, putting the talis. He sees himself saying, burich atu. You know, and he says it exactly like a Rebbe Shemaiah said. Oh! So he feels, look how good I am. And those are good things he's doing. You know, many of these things, these are good things. Fine. So it makes him feel good. It makes him look good too. The zeh and the lo sases, he doesn't keep. Why? Because they are avodim shebelev. They're inner. Nobody will necessarily see him doing those things. That's something that depends on you know, his true motives. It's more hidden. Ki rabos machashavos belev ish. There are a lot of machshavos, and he's referring to what Kohelet says, Elokim baris adam yashar v'hem bikshu cheshbonos rabim. Our place, machshavos, rabos machshavos, that's referring to desires. U'b'chol eis v'rega mischadesh kefira chadosha o sheker o tai v'ra'a. And all, every day, all the time, there's renewed another lie, another kefira, another lie, or another desire. That's really bad. Particularly sexual. The im yishazek bazeh, bal yivad ala ish, v'hu chofetz beitzad kol ein kol. Okay? He's in a pickle. You know, if he's strong in this averis, and if he keeps doing these averis, nobody will know. Nobody will know. He has a desire to be seen as righteous to all, but inside the resistance to what's bad, that it doesn't bother him as much. That's not a real consequence. And that's a point that I keep seeing. I get calls, at least three calls a week, sometimes many more, of guys who are B'nai Torah and they're masturbating frequently, they're looking at pornography frequently, and worse. And there are hundreds and hundreds of them. that I know personally, face-to-face even, hundreds I know face-to-face. And these people are well-meaning people, and the Yosha Divrei Emes over here is asking a question. Okay, this isn't the end of his sefer. He's got a lot more to say. He's going to talk about the positive side. He's going to get into discussions on what does all this mean and what's the proper attitude towards this. Right now, he's basically asking a question. He's pointing out a problem, and he's saying that all the gutzkeit in the world doesn't make a person, doesn't demonstrate that they want to do God's will. The first thing to do to demonstrate I want to do God's will, he's proposing, is to not do things that he doesn't want us to do. Okay? That's erstens. That's the first. And he explains it in a way that it's just obvious, natural. It's just natural and obvious. And yet, what do we want? What do we want? We want to do the things that make us feel good, like learning Shas. Like shuckling. Shuckling feels good. It feels like I'm having a lot of kavana when I'm shuckling, and I look like I'm getting into the davening. I'm not just doing it to show off. I'm doing it to show off to myself. What? That's evil. And he's saying, not that it's evil. The issue over here isn't evil. The issue over here is that if a person is doing a lot of things that are against God's will, the things that he's doing for God's will are probably being done by him because he's run by desire. He is God. We are the center. That's what's typical for us people. We are the center of the universe. In Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about King Baby. If you look in chapter 5 of AA, you'll see when he sets out step 3, you'll see he talks about King Baby. He talks about how we make ourselves the center of things. We do things to impress others. We care about things because of the way they affect us. This is just human nature. He's not complaining about these things. He's stating some facts, and he's going to make proposals for improvement as the sefer goes on. And he's trying to state that exactly what Alcoholics Anonymous is focused on, 12 steps is focused on, is going to be, this is demonstrating what the preciousness of we admitted that we're powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. We admitted that we're powerless over lust and that our lives, not our sex, not our lust, not our alcohol, has become unmanageable. Our lives are unmanageable. How do we know our lives are unmanageable? The only thing that's unmanageable is my drinking. I keep getting drunk, or I keep sexually acting out, and I keep getting caught by my wife, or whatever, you know, or Rabbi Tversky said that you can't start dating until you've been clean for, he made up a number, 6 months, a year, whatever it is, or in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say don't get into a relationship until you've been sober for a year. Okay, fine. So now every time I do my drug, every time I act out, or every time I drink, it like pushes off my ability to start dating, and my parents are driving me crazy. When are you going to start with shidduchim? And I have more, or if I'm married, I have more things to hide from my wife, and it's very upsetting. It's terrible. All those things are not really consequences, okay? Because you keep doing them. What are the things that you are doing? Well, you're doing other stuff. Look at what you are doing. You know, it's because those are the things that really have consequences. These are the things that you hide. These are the things that you hide. If you can hide it, then it doesn't really have consequences. All the guilt and all the, Hashem doesn't want me to do it, it's not a real consequence for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. So AA, the first step is to start admitting the facts. To start admitting the truth about myself, that I care more about the porn. For example, people who discover porn, some guys have admitted this to me only after they heard someone else say it, that figuring out a Tosfos, figuring out a Rashi, doing a mitzvah, whatever it is, yeah, it gives me a good, clean feeling. But from the moment I discovered the porn, from the first time that I masturbated myself, from the first time that I did X, Y, and Z, I realized there is nothing, nothing that even comes close to this. This is the schara. This is worthwhile. This is what I want. And recognizing that and admitting that isn't an avera. It's being honest. God already knows it. There's nothing new here. Admitting the truth is nothing new. Admitting the truth is getting on the same page with the Rabbanu Shalom. And what he's saying in this Sefer right now is, he's not jumping and saying, therefore, since doing the Avera, being over on the Los Ases, proves that even your assays are not for the Rabbanu Shalom, they're also for yourself because you're guided by desire. So he's not saying, therefore, quick, stop, doing it. He's not running to tshuva and saying, therefore, you must stop. Try telling an addict, you must stop. It's a waste of time. And yet people say, well, admitting it is just condoning it. It's not true. It's not true. Admitting it means admitting it. And admitting it doesn't just mean admitting. Admitting means accepting it with a whole heart. Accepting that this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the thing that I need to accept. And as soon as I accept the truth, as soon as I really accept the truth, then there is a chance that I can get better. There's a chance that things can improve, okay? Until I accept the truth as it really is fully, with both hands, accept the truth with open arms, accept the truth. Yes, I am a person who, it matters more to me if people are watching me than if God is watching me. Because I don't take God as seriously as I take people. So guess what? Now, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Now I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat as the student, the Talmidim, of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay? That's what I've proven. I am in the same category as the student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who he said to them, A person is motivated by whether people are watching him, not by whether God is watching him. That's what's typical. And his blessing to you, his blessing, my blessing to myself, to you, me, and all of us, is that if we're people who are serving God in our mitzvahs asay because it pleases us, and we face that back squarely because we're still doing whatever it is that we're still doing. We're still, if you're a person who's not in recovery and you're not sober, so then you're a person who is still masturbating, still looking at pornography, still doing other lust-related acts that are destructive, that destroy relationships. You're faking your wife out. You're playing her or your husband for the fool and tricking them, and you're living a double life. Then it's time. Don't focus on changing right now. Don't. Because you've been focusing on changing your whole life. If you come off of these talks with me and you say, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try again. Rabbi Nachman says, Anuch, you can be Mishkadesh. Anytime you can start afresh. All these things are lies designed, they're tricks designed to try to fake, not only to the people around you, but to fake to yourself that you can try again. It's what Einstein said, that a sign of stupidity or insanity is trying the same thing, expecting that the result will be different. The same thing's going to keep happening. Don't waste your time. Instead of running away from yourself, this chapter in Yosha Diva Emes, this chapter in Sefer Derech Emes is, to me, is speaking to us and motivating me to speak the truth, to find people who I can admit all the truth to, so that it will help me admit the truth. Self-honesty comes as a result of being open and honest to others, not as a result of knowing the truth. Find people who you can admit everything you do to. Like the Rebbe Reb Melech says in Osir Gimel of the Kuntras, that people know as the Tzepel Kutin. You know? Find a Mora Derech or a Chaver Ne'eman and tell them everything, including Machshavas. And Ba'al Tetach Edimenu Shum Davar Mipnei HaBusha. Don't hold back anything because of shame. Why? Because you're going to say to yourself, oh, well, that would just be condoning it. Because you're not saying, I have a taiva for my sister-in-law, but I really shouldn't. And stop being a tzaddik. Stop showing your tzaddik. Stop showing me that whatever you're doing wrong, whatever you did wrong, you have a plan. But I have a plan to stop. I have a plan to stop them. For 90 days, I'm going to, every time I see her, I'm going to look at the floor. Every time a jogging woman runs by my car, I'm going to close my eyes and turn my head around, and I don't care if I crash into a wall. You know, you don't have to give me a plan. Just accept who you are, please. Don't be afraid. Stop running from yourself. Admit. Look at it squarely and honestly. And do what the Yeshua Divrei Emes is suggesting. Admit to yourself that you serve God really just to serve yourself. And the proof is that you're doing averus willfully that aren't just chumras about how, you know, you're tearing toilet paper not on the perforations, and that's really not right to do. The chatchila, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about real averus, real immorality. And when I say real averus, I don't even mean people call in with a stupid question, excuse me, about, well, exactly what is there? It doesn't say in the Torah, beferish, not to do this and not to do that, and the pornography is only a two-dimensional image. There's no real woman there, so I'm not really looking at Arias. What? And it's all these different things. And I've been asked these questions on Guard Your Eyes frequently. And I tell them, go to a rav. Oh, a rub he won't go to. Only me online hiding behind his computer calling himself Gingerbread Man. Now he can do that. You can't really ask a Shaila, can you? Why? Because that would require being honest. But if you were honest to a rub who you trusted wouldn't spill your name all over the neighborhood, if you really were honest with a rub, you realize that you would probably stop, not out of shame, but because when those words come out of your mouth for the first time in your life, you're going to accept that you're a shagetz. You're going to accept the truth of what you do, you know, and who you are, and what's going on with you, and where you're holding for the very first time. The reason that we don't really accept it, even though we know it, is because of what he says in this chapter, that all these yidden are doing all these losases, But they do the assay, so they feel firm. And he says, and he's taking that away from us. And he's saying, that's not firm. That just means you're doing all the assays for yourself, too. One of the great, great, great points in basic early recovery in 12 steps, one of the great ikarim, one of the great central pillars is, I'm not God. And Halavai, we should stop being God. I meet so many guys who tell me that they're hiding all these things, and I'm not suggesting telling the wife, I'm not suggesting telling the community, but when a person hides these things and lives a double life and hides from everybody, it's Geneva's Das. It's a lifestyle of Geneva. It's not Mishana. They say that it's Mishanah Mipnei HaShalom. Abraham and Sarah weren't Mishanah Mipnei HaShalom. Hashem was Mishanah Mipnei HaShalom because Hashem knows how to tell something that's, how to hide part of the truth, and it's still honesty. It's Chosomo Emes. He never lies. that lo yishel v'chazeh, he doesn't lie. This is not for people to be doing. I'm not even talking about Mishana v'Meshalom. I'm talking about living a lifestyle that's a lie. A living Sefer Torah, so to speak, of Gneivas Das. A reverse Sefer Torah. Where, you know, being a person like that will only change. Our only hope is to get together with others who are doing the same thing and who are ready to admit it, not with Gingerbread Man and Tshuva 613. That's like you're talking to a cow. It's got to be in person. It's got to be face-to-face with no bags on your head. It's got to be honest and vulnerable. And that's what 12-step meetings are about. And I'm not plugging 12-step meetings for anybody but an addict. And most of the people listening to this, trust me, most of you are not addicts. The overwhelming majority of people on Guard Your Eyes are not addicts. There's a Yetzer Hara and there are Tivus. And he's talking to those people in this Sefer. He's not talking to addicts mainly. He's talking to normal Yidden. I'm just extending it and showing, I'm trying to demonstrate how the 12-step program is what he's talking about on steroids. It's a pathway that's built on, its life's blood is the stuff that this man is teaching us are necessary for tshuva in very small and simple doses, as you'll see. 12 steps takes these ideas, these types of ideas, and lives by them openly. It expands on them. You know? And I'll sign off with this. In Nevardak, it's well known, they say, that they would teach people to stop trying to impress others by impressing them with their smart comments. You know, someone says a vort to you. How many of us, when someone says, oh, I just want to tell you a vort, how many of us say back a vort? It's not a machla. I'm just saying, how many of us say a vort back? It's almost all of us. Not all of us, but almost all of us. Why? Because I want to look smart too. I want to do him a favor. It's a chesed. He did me a chesed. I want to do him a chesed. Why do we have to dress everything in some excuse that it sounds like it's from? Just shut up and listen. Hashem shuts up and listen all the time. He's listening to us all the time. When's the last time God had to tell you a word? He listens to all the stuff coming out of our mouth. You know, just listen. You know, why not? Because we want to impress people. Partially. So this human need gets in the way. It gets in the way, and as we grow, it becomes more and more and more about us. We become more and more and more needy in terms of impressing other people. And they say that in Nevardak they would do things like go to a chicken store and ask for nails, and the storekeeper would think that they're stupid. It's a chil Hashem, but for Midos, you work on these things anyway, because that's the whole purpose of being here, as the Kedusha, as the Shari Kedusha explains in the second parak, I think it is, first or second parak. You know, that's the purpose of why we're here. So, so why is it so important in Nevardak, where the focus is on, if you know about Nevardak, the focus is on Bitachon, because Ein Od Milvado, there really is nothing else but the Ribono Shel Olam. And I'm a nothing. Why am I a nothing? Which the whole Indian of Nevardak is that I'm Nevutzel, the Ribono Shel Olam, you know? Why? Because, not because I am down, but because he is up, you know? And there, he is everything. What can I say of myself, you know? Knowing God, you know? So he's here. What else is there, you know? So it's a life of Kabbalah's Omal Hashemayim. So how does going into a fish store or whatever and asking for a chicken, how does that help with that? Because it helps a person get used to not having respect from anybody, getting used to the way that feels and not needing any respect from anybody, because I'm not the center of the universe. It's not about me. This isn't for me. I'm here on a mission. And the process is the beauty. The process is the pleasure. The process is what matters. And there's no king baby anymore. In order for a person to live that way, it takes exercise and practice. And the Vardic, they knew it wasn't from sitting in front of a safer and going, oh, ich bin gar nicht, ich bin gar nicht. It was rather from doing exercises, action. This is a go, 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 do, do, do program. This is a program of action. And AA uses, 12 steps uses these concepts. And I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you. We're going to go on to the next chapter. It's going to get even better. next Monday around 12:15, we're going to start. Thank you very much.